Right. With that, the call to order the January 13th, 2026 meeting of the City of Emeryville Transportation and Sustainability Committee. We are meeting in the council chambers today. Very exciting. With that, Ryan, can you take the roll?
Member David Mora?
Here.
And Chair Matthew Solomon?
Here. Now I will take public comment, starting with anyone in the room for items not on the agenda. You'll have 2 minutes at the podium. Please. First come, first serve. Okay. Oh, sorry, before you start, after we'll do in the room and then we'll do any online speaker cards.
Okay. Hi, my name is Stephanie Barber. I'm a resident of Emeryville. And I live in the Emery Bay Village condominium on Village on 53rd. And I'm here, even though I think I missed the comment period on the 40th Street multimodal project, I just want to add a comment anyway. The things I'm going to say come from my experience of the Hollis Street construction project, which has really impacted me and everybody where I live. The biggest ones is just the traffic backup, the reduction in lanes, in the way the lanes have been reshaped. But mostly it's just reduction in lanes and the inability to be able to take a right turn. Now you have to wait through for a green light for people to flow through before you can take to take that right turn. Backs up on the hump on Powell Street. And I don't exactly know exactly how 40th Street is going to be impacted with how the lanes are being done. But on Saturday, I was with a friend and the traffic from the light at Target, it was backed all the way up around the overpass toward IKEA. So we've already got traffic backed up at times, and reducing lanes is going to make that even worse. I'm concerned about access where I live. I don't know if any of you live in our area, but when Horton was closed off, you know, now we're down to this one street. It's either San Pablo or Hollis. And presuming that Sutter does move in, that's going to be another impact. And I think those are my concerns. And I can't tell you how frustrated and mad I feel, angry about it. And I'm here, you know, delivering this in hopefully a calm voice, but it's really been an impact, and I really want you to hear it, because if you don't live in that area, you really kind of just don't feel it. You go down the street, that's kind of the end of that. So thank you
for your comment. Appreciate you being here. Next speaker.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Jessica Cook, also Emeryville resident. Have been fortunate to be part of the Emeryville Public Arts Program as well as a working artist. I'm speaking today on behalf of several people who have shared a similar concern or interest that I'll present to you today, which is I'd like to propose a permanent halt to the removal of the old growth redwood benches in Emeryville, including specifically Emeryville Marina Park along Powell Street, and perhaps there are other locations that I'm not personally familiar with. As a mother, as a neighbor, as a resident, I, like many people, spend a lot of time in that park. And the redwood benches represent particular things to me and to others. They are durable. They are made of old growth redwood, are practically 2.5 to 3 inches thick. They have lasted a long time. I don't know when they were first installed, but for the most part represent very little maintenance requirement, which has been confirmed to me by some of the crew that's been working out there, along with other master woodworkers that I am in touch with. They require little maintenance. They're safe. They're sturdy. They're also natural. They're in line with the landscape environment. They're unobtrusive. They're non-toxic. I feel like they represent, as the sustainability committee, they like represent durable materials and long life, and are nice to touch, nice to ground, nice to be on, nice to play on. I see elders setting their exercise mats on top of them and doing their exercises. I see people standing up and doing squats. I see kids playing and picnicking, things that are not able to be done on the plastic benches that have been the replacement. So returning from winter time away to see family, the first week of January, came back to see that most of the redwood benches had already been removed and were being replaced with aluminum, black painted aluminum, recycled plastic benches. I understand that that came from a desire on the part of the Committee for Aging for accessibility. That's great. I think we need all kinds of benches and seating and accessible appreciation of public areas. However, there are just a few remaining redwood benches that I would like to propose to stay in place. The third reason for them staying in place is they're multi-use. They really are very accessible. I think it's great that there are other benches that now have the backing, which the back seats, I think that many people also need that for physical needs. They are on a, as far as I understand, it's, there's a current hold on replacing the final benches for various reasons, including weather needs, but I'd like to propose like a permanent hold until more community input or participation or voice is welcomed into the determination as to whether to continue to remove those benches. I understand there's also, they will be removed partially to be able to provide for ADA accessible pads, which I think is also very important. But there now is an abundance of plastic benches everywhere in the park and very few wooden benches left. And I would propose that we go back to the drawing board to some degree to find other suitable places for ADA pads to be placed and maintain the wood, the natural feel, the longevity of these materials in our public spaces for all of our appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. Are there any other in-person speakers today? Any online comment cards?
So there were three comment cards that we submitted to you by email, but two more just came in the last 10 minutes. So I have not forwarded those over to you guys. I could read them right now.
Okay, yeah, I think given that we haven't, I haven't had a chance to see them, I think if you could read the two that we have not, I came in the last 10 minutes, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Sorry to make you do that.
No worries. All right, so the first comment is from Ross Wallsmith, and he wishes to comment about benches, rodents, and light posts at Marina Park. Item one is, I urge the committee to cease removal of redwood benches at Marina Park. The benches have utility. Aesthetically, they blend into the park and are in good serviceable condition. I'm a senior with a replaced hip and a bad back. I appreciate use of the benches for stretching on my afternoon walks. The new style of benches don't facilitate stretching and have ugly, failing paint after just a couple years of service. Point two, some of the new tall light posts already have significant rust and bubbling paint at their bases. That shouldn't happen after such a short deployment period. Can the city work with a supplier or vendor for remediation? It seems like a poor use of public funds to watch these falling into disrepair. Point three, last year we had a beautiful hawk living and hunting in the park. Suddenly he disappeared and I suspect he was exposed to rodent poison. I'm concerned for the environment and the well-being of dogs that frequent Marina Park. Please consider non-toxic rodent controls. The next comment is from also Ross Wallsmith. Let me just double check if it's not a duplicate comment. It is not. He wishes to comment about the beautiful new trees. And his comment is, thanks for planting new trees. Great design and execution. I hope three or so additional trees can be planted annually in order to avoid the die-off we saw in recent years. And that's all for public comments submitted.
Great. Thank you, Ryan. With that, I want to close public comment for items not on the agenda and move to item four, which is the approval of the December 9th, 2025 regular meeting action minutes. Member Moore, do you have any comments or concerns?
I move approval of the minutes.
I will second that. Member Roll.
All right, Member David Moore.
Aye.
And Chair Matthew Solomon.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Ryan. And with that, we'll move to the action items. Our one action item today is wayfinding and public art on 40th Street with Amber Evans.
Hi, I'm Amber Evans, Community Development Coordinator for the City of Emeryville, and I bring to you for action item and recommendation to the City Council the final design of the City of Emeryville's 40th Streetscape Public Art. In your packet, you would have received a PowerPoint that looked much like the one I'm about to present to you, but that was as it was prepared for the BPAC and the Public Art Committee. At that time, comments were provided to the artist, and they have since been responsive. And so what I'll be presenting to you today, those were the presentation in your packet was the draft final, and this is the final with new designs and iconic imagery within it. So I do direct you to the slides I'm sharing. And why, I'm gonna move that there. The first thing we'll be covering is that the scope is brought into three elements. One's a logo design, one is signage to be integrated, or elements to be added into existing signage, or the signage design for the 40th project. And then the third is for art elements to be standalone sculptures or attachments to streetscape elements, and we'll walk through all of those. The first is to just show you an existing bike route sign, and the proposal is that this sign would be maintain all of the elements as you see here, the basic shape, the wording as it's located, the design of the bike, all those elements would remain. The sign would be made a little bit taller to include some additional elements. These elements would still be in that white background on the green, so it looked much like the sign, but you'd have the godwit, which is found at the Emeryville mudflats, and swallowtails seen throughout town, added to for just a hint back to the public art project. And that we could pull up a PDF if you wanted that would show what that would look like in a design. The second image is to be also designed to retain the purple, the wording, the half moon shape or the half circle shape, and be placed within it in that same color dynamic, but instead replacing the family elements with a family of animals as depicted in the next slide. This is a godwit family with a hummingbird leading that tag-along bike attached to another bike. And this was an element that was reviewed by both committees in some detail. And this is reflective to comments that were received by the artist about how to make a sign that was distinctive for the bike boulevards versus the bike routes and had that element of family and a safe space for shared use. This next element is for a specific logo that could be used in the project. It could be used on signage, such as where you have multiple routes to go, kind of that tree topper, and placed on top, as well as within, integrated into the monument signs. And there were initially designs that were included in a survey that had some fairly neutral acceptance by the community. And so when the committees discussed it, they talked about making it more explicitly an E or letting it not be an E. So you'll see two different designs here, and really returning to the focus on the mudflat birds as a way to be distinctive about Emeryville, rather than something like the crow or the hummingbird, which had previously been considered that by focusing on birds found in our mudflat, we would be very specifically place-based. This is an example with a standing godwit and the E being represented. The next one is a godwit just putting it in a circle. And the thought would be that these could be, if they were iconic enough of Emeryville, used in stationery, used in flags, used on, you know, sellable swag items. And there is a question that just is something iconic enough to do that, and will it last beyond the program, or is it used just within the program? And so this is probably the most open element that has come with the least. We've gotten it nailed down, right? All the other elements, there's a real sense that the committees agree on it, the public's endorsed it, it's coming to you here. This icon, as it's shown here, is perhaps the most compelling in terms of how it was discussed among the committees, both that it has a mudflat bird, it conveys an E, and it has action or motility within it. So this is three of four that I'm showing you, but I think that this might be the potentially the most a staff recommendation to consider this for the final design to be proposed to the City Council. And then there's the final one, and sorry, I'm just having a little trouble with my phone, is without that E, but just a circle element showing the will in flight. I think to some degree there's tomorrow these will be discussed with staff before going to the City Council, and we're trying to get these before as many people as possible to see, is there consensus around that? Is there enough support to move forward with this element, or is it an element that is just excluded from the project? All the other elements could move forward without this element moving forward. Sorry, I think I somehow moved us forward several slides, and I do apologize for that. Can't move, then I move quite a few. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so from the icons, we're moving to another element of the final design for actual installations by the artists. The three elements you've seen so far are for the artist to provide to the city for our use of commission of signage that incorporates the design. The rest of these elements are for the artist to install, fabricate, have all elements of. So in two locations, using existing shelters or the shelters that will be added in the project, they're proposing two designs, one that incorporates plane trees, canna geese, pelicans, godwits, egrets, and herons, more of a bird palette, and one that is more of the flora palette, bulrush, jasmine, mustard plant. And this had been a different image. And sorry, I close that out. This had been a very different image, and the artist was responsive to the BPAC. And the PAC, who had this design is in another element of the project, but it's kind of hidden as it's has another piece in front of it. And so it was added here because there had been so much desire to see this as an element that was more highlighted and was responsive to the comments that the prior image had been far too busy. Then there are a series of attachments. These are stainless steel with paint on them in multicolors attached to the bus shelters. There are also separately elements to be attached to the light poles, but these are bus shelter elements. So that crow comes back in here. Egrets. Raccoons. The artist had originally not had eyes on these raccoons, and they were asked to please add them, and they've been quite responsive to that. The bee was purple, and now she's yellow. So again, irresponsive and continually through all these elements. Additionally, there's fence attachments. There's a couple places in the project where that'll happen. So some of these smaller elements focusing on fauna. And mushrooms. The lean bars had a significant discussion in both committees because initially the elements had had standalone elements that were attached to the bars. And there was the thought that those elements would be kicked, broken, could be risks to people's ankles, injury. And so they were kind of outside the bars. They've now been placed within the bars and have enough elements to be a single attached screen within them. If there is, there may still be a little bit of comment about there being too much open space, and so that might be something we refine just a little bit, but I think that'd just be at a project level. And so between there are four different designs. I assume there's some emotions that come up with this possum and perhaps some comment to the artist about that. Additionally, elements attached to the light poles, the tern, butterflies, herons, mushrooms, lizards, bugs, cats, and a redesigned squirrel. I should say that this squirrel at one point looked like a flying squirrel, and they significantly put it on the ground, but up a pole, but it became a ground squirrel instead of that flying squirrel. I will now be transitioning to the elements that are proposed for each of the four plazas or half plazas to be created with the 40th and its side streets. In each of these plazas, there's a very different sculpture, and we'll go through each of them to show you the visual elements of that. This is a lit sculpture proposed at Hubbard. It's a single sculpture seen from its front and side views, and I'll give you the details of that. It is internally lit, so adding one of the project elements. When this project was released to artists, we had asked for the possibility of increasing lighting in the plazas, increasing activation, having seating. And so they kind of did one of each of these in each of the plazas. And so these are the individual panels that are incorporated in the artwork. This artist has done this installation of a sculpture like this elsewhere in the country, but these are very specifically based on the 125 comments and people that they interacted with about the species and what is found in Emeryville and what people value and care about in the space and are reflected here. And so I've seen those other panels and seen that they represent very different things, and this was very much attuned to Emeryville. So herons using the eelgrass as a back, hardstem bulrush as a background, the hummingbird sage and jasmine's backgrounds, and then cats and birds and other, both from the mudflat and elsewhere. The Watts Street Plaza was inspired by bicycle wheels, but provides a seating element. And there are, this is the interactive work, and I apologize for that. And in this case, there are two different works and series of species that spin in front of the other. And there were concerns by both committees that fingers could get stuck in that. And so they have specifically proposed a design element. And so this image on the right, the poppies, is what is now also in the bus shelter. But the front element to the left is placed in front of the image to the right. In all three cases, they have habitat themes. I was pausing for when that slide was going to come, and I would say that safety, they've added a rear panel that includes a solid white backing, laminated between the cut layers. This conceals The layer prevents fingers from accessing while maintaining the visual lightness. And so this is a technical solution that we've now just seen the first proposal, so we may continue to have discussion about that at a staff level, but the intent being to keep the visual impact of the project while eliminating the risk. And then the final of the four plaza elements at Holden is a grand arch at the pedestrian scale. That these bands, you can see one is ginkgo and another Matilda poppy, and some other elements brought in them, and the design is represented for each here. And then Haven Street, the seating. So using ginkgo and other flora ornaments, and then using waves for the seating panels to indicate a shoreline community. And then stools just have the eelgrass within them. And I think that brings me to my conclusion. And this was a slideshow provided by the artist, and I am very appreciative of it, but it doesn't give me that great end of the presentation slide where I say what I'm asking for your action. And the action we're looking for is a recommendation for the final design to be accepted by the City Council with all the elements that are included here as they are, with some flexibility to deal with some of the technical issues that I indicated, and then just some consideration of that icon and whether that be included element for your recommendation, or if you would not be recommending moving forward with an icon on this time, given the level of the additional work if there need be.
Great, thank you so much, Amber. Really appreciate the presentation. So before we get to discussion, let's see if there's any questions.
Yes, thanks, Amber. You mentioned you might have PDFs of the bike symbols so that we could better visualize what the actual sign would look like. And my concern there is just that, you know, these are typically standard signs. So if we're proposing something with like a artistic flair, we don't want to obscure the original purpose for those signs.
Turned it off. Perhaps if there are additional questions, I can look for it while and then I'll pull it up as I find it, but I don't have it at hand. My apologies.
Sure, that's fine. And then I was wondering, so overall, which are the items that we are being asked to provide direction on? I think it was clear with the bike signage.
The bike signage actually has a final design. It sounds like you have a question regarding seeing that, but they are at final design. The only items that have alternatives provided to you are the icon, the single standing icon.
Does that mean that the bike design then it's not the standard design? This would be the modified one.
Correct. It'd be the modified. Both the BPAC and the PAC had significant comment on that, which the artist has been responsive to. And the BPAC found that while they had initially had significant concerns about going from Oakland to Emeryville to Berkeley feel like you were on the same route, they felt the artist was very attentive to the comments that they had made about making sure that icon read and that elements weren't obscured. But they had the benefit of the image that I promised you, and I am trying to find.
Okay, but it sounds like there's no decision needed there. Sharing for information.
Yeah, so the action today, I'm looking for a recommendation of the packet as it is for all elements except for the icon, where I'm asking for you to either decide if one of those four is something you want to recommend, or if you're not prepared to recommend any of the four.
Okay, could you explain the purpose of the icon again?
Sure. for the purposes of 40th Street project, it is an element that is in lieu of the city logo on the monument signs and is potentially a topper on top of, do we have a technical term for those tree-like signs?
Yeah, it's just street name signs, like where a stop sign typically is, where it just says which street you're on, like kind of like a cross brace. So it'd be the little topper on those Telus Bar signs. So it's about 5-6 inches.
And so that circle was the intent of fitting within, as a, our logo would be on the top of that. So it's keeping that same shape, but then having something that is reflective of the art project and reflective of the project. It could be in addition to the city's logo on those monument sign, because I think there's a couple spaces there, but that would be the intent. I think the best explanation is when you see the City of Oakland's logo, it's one thing, but when you see the Oaklandish tree with roots, it's iconic, right? There, it's on T-shirts, it's in a lot of other places and represented. And so the thought was that this had one function in the project, that that would be, you know, the city would take that action, but the intent being that perhaps we could create something that was iconic in the same way that that Oaklandish icon is for Oakland, for Emeryville.
I see. And just for additional context, there's not like, you don't have a visual, I guess, of what the topper, well, are there any existing toppers anywhere in the city? Because I'm still kind of struggling to see, or is this like an entirely new concept of a thing that goes on top of road signs?
The wayfinding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To answer your question, we don't have any current toppers like this in the city. But okay. Amber's going to try to look for something that was in the RFP that kind of described this. And then I can share on the screen just kind of where this would be real quick.
Yeah, why not?
Or are there toppers in Oakland? You mentioned Oakland. Like, do they have those on top of road signs as well?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
So this is the street name sign right here. And it would be a topper. And if you can imagine this mouse pad right here, about the size of this being right on top.
Does it like replace a like welcome to Emeryville, like city border type thing? No.
It would be intended for just an additional element at top.
I see. Okay.
And this would be exclusively on 40th Street.
Another artistic element consistent with the art that is installed throughout the street.
The last question I had is, what exactly are hold bars? There was the visualization of hold bars, and I wasn't sure what that was referring to.
So at the bus stops, I think they're lean bars is how they're described. And so to keep pedestrians who are standing adjacent to the bus lane on the curb, there's a obstruction to keep them, and it's called the lean bar, and you can also kind of use it. You're not providing seating there, but you might be leaning against it.
I see.
And so those are within the strats of those lean bars.
Okay, thank you.
So one additional question, maybe you, just a clarification. So except for those icons, in the other items where there were a number of different, not options, but designs, the idea is that they would, you know, for example, in the lean bars, the artist would, those are the, all of those items would be included for that, not for that item, because I can't say them twice, but you know, where there's like six different animals, all of the animals, that is the full range of design is Yes. All of those animals. Okay. So yes. We're not choosing one of those six.
No, you're not choosing. Great. So the intent is there will be something like 35 art pieces installed in the breadth of the project. And so a butterfly might be at Emory and so forth. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Okay. If no other questions.
One more came one to mind. You mentioned you had like a comment about the raccoon, how that was a late addition. Can I ask the background for the raccoon?
I'm sorry. The artist had throughout this review, the draft final proposal, had a raccoon. It just didn't have eyes. And that seemed inappropriate for a species that is so well known for its eyes. And so there were committee members and staff who said this to them, and they changed that element. So they became quite curious.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
They're very descriptive eyes. okay. Well, if no other questions, then we can move to public comment on item 5.1. Any public comments? Brooks? Of 2 minutes.
Brooks, if you can come up to the mic just for the recording, please.
Brooks Jessup, former member of BPAC, current member of the Emeryville Transportation Management Association Board. I just want to say I really love this design. I think it's terrific. I think that it really highlights the connection between our transportation system and our natural environments the importance of the impact of transportation for the environment for protecting our local environment. So I think that's terrific. I think it's aesthetically really pleasing. My only question is around engagement. So there was mentioned that there were 125 comments, and I know that the review bodies mentioned include BPAC, the PAC, and I think there was one other. I think it's great, right? Particularly bike and ped, bike users, pedestrians are very well represented there. But that's really important. But I do wonder about the transit ridership community. So we've got bike and ped represented. Do we have transit riders represented in the feedback as well? And I guess what I want to say there is that we can't assume that the bike community and the transit rider community is coterminous, is the same, because there are some people who can't ride a bike, right? Who can't get around Emeryville on a bike or necessarily by walking. And so they take transit, right? And so they're not necessarily the same communities. I don't anticipate there would be any other issues or problems like coming from the transit rider community. But I do think that we should make sure that aspect of our transportation system and those transportation system users, road users who do ride transit are represented and are able to provide feedback from that transit rider perspective. Feel like they're part of the process, feel invested as well, particularly because we're talking about bus shelters, right? Not only bike signs for wayfinding, but a lot of the art is around bus shelters as well. So I just wanted to, so the question there is, were transit riders engaged intentionally, specifically in the comments? I guess that's the question. Yep.
Thank you, Brooks. Amber, I don't know if you have a response. Great. Your mic's off. Yep.
I think I misspoke about the engagement. So 125 people participated in artist-led workshops that included school children, about 80 of them, and then 45 additional over six workshops where Emeryville residents and students cut their own paper designs to reflect what they cared about. Sometimes it was just artist examples if they were learning the process, but there was a BPAC meeting where the Western fence lizard got cut out and crows and poppies and things that people loved and cared about the community. In addition, there was a survey that was done generally to the public. And I guess that before going to the survey, I should say that those engagements weren't necessarily targeted specifically to transit riders, but there was a community day out at Powell, so Watergate and perhaps Emory Go-Around users out there, or certainly targeted school children who may be on those, and the Artist Co-op, the PAC, the BPAC, and a senior picnic. So maybe targeting some of those populations, such as students and seniors, who are more likely to be using transit as a can't due to their needs. So maybe overrepresenting those populations a little bit in this. The survey was sent out through traditional city mechanisms such as newsflash and social media posts. We didn't ask demographic questions, so I can't say the spread there. It did live for a little bit on Reddit, so it got a little wild over there, and there might have been some transit riders in that wild west of a discussion. But I think we did the best we could with the available means, and maybe that's a challenge to all our projects. To the extent that we perhaps can get surveys or screens or QR codes on transit, that might improve that ridership. But not having that available to the project, I don't have a better answer.
That's very helpful to me, Amber. Thank you. And thank you for all the engagement you did do. I have to say my cutting out would not look quite as good as these do. So I think there's no other public comment in the room. Ryan, are there any speaker cards on this item?
There's none for this item.
Okay. I will close public comment for item 5.1, move to discussion. Member Moore, if it's okay with you, I think my recommendation would be to split the conversation first, broad feedback, and then maybe specifically on the icon, if that works for you.
I don't have a lot to say on either. I'm okay combining the for discussion and
okay.
Recommendation.
Good.
If it keeps it simpler.
Sure.
So overall, I really like these designs. They're whimsical, playful, aesthetically pleasing, colorful. I think that the artist is clearly, not just more talented than Chair Solomon, but also more talented than I would be. So I'm really excited to see these get come through and be deployed, and they're also very, very functional. As for the topper, I have no opinion on that one, so I wouldn't be recommending for or against it until I better understand. Are we the first city to do these things? Like, it'd be helpful to see, like, does Berkeley have toppers anywhere, or Oakland have toppers? So I would just need to look more into it, but I don't have any particularly strong feelings one way or the other.
Thank you, Member Moore. I would just echo the really liking this. I don't think I had seen or engaged with the artist's work before, and it's really cool and fun, and I like the focus on native plants and animals. I think that's very exciting. And then on the icon, I think whether or not we include one, I say, more art is probably better than less art. And certainly the public works team, making sure that it doesn't obstruct signs or anything like that. But I trust that those conversations have happened. And in terms of which of these, I think item three was the one that you were, the one that's on the screen right now is the one that was recommended. I think I like this. I agree. It looks sort of like an E, but is a little bit more interesting and emotive, I guess, than the others. And would say, to the extent that it can live outside of this, just this project and be more meaningful to people, great, but also, don't want to expect too much. But if there is a shirt with that on, I might buy it. I think I don't feel especially strongly, but would feel comfortable with this, being a part of the overall set of options. Is there anything else, Amber, that you were looking for from us? Do we answer your questions?
Right. If you allow me to comment on the topper question, I think I've Googled an image that may help us understand the kind of function and how it fits in with the rest of the wayfinding signage. So I'll go ahead and share, and hopefully that's helpful.
Thank you. While you're doing that, Amber, any luck on finding a...
I couldn't find it. I'm so sorry, but I will send it after the meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
Just don't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time.
So if you look at this particular example of wayfinding kind of scheme for downtown Detroit, as it happens, if you look at this, the comparison between the sign on the right and the sign on the left, you'll see a decorative element on top of the pole. Now imagine that decorative element slightly larger and basically a branded icon. And that's what you're selecting. And it goes, and it would sort of, it's meant to complement these other wayfinding signs that are there to direct you to other significant city landmarks or, other bike routes, for example. So that's the idea. Here's another close-up. So essentially to go on top of a wayfinding pole.
Thanks, Mohammed. It seems like if we were to go with anything, we'd want something that resembles an E, so it's affiliated with the city. I guess the only other observation is like this would be like what you're showing here is like a metal orb that looks the same all around, whereas ours would be like a two-dimensional cutout. So, if somebody's looking at it from various angles, what's it going to look like backwards, from behind, from the front, from the sides? Is it going to be confusing or distracting? That's probably just one other consideration.
That's fair. And I mean, it really is intended as a standard for the city logo. That would have been, I think, in our original RFP, that's what was shown on the topper. So think of that, of it functionally in that way.
In lieu of the city logo, it's probably an improvement because it's more artistic.
And I did just have pointed out to me that the element that I was offering you is at the bottom of the item in your packet. So what was shared with you, so I'm wondering, I don't have that packet up, but I think, Ryan, you do. It's the very last element. I could flip through this. Yes, that right there. The exact elements since you were provided, it's that direction. For the public's edification as well. You were provided this in your packet to show you how the intent to use the design would be incorporated into an existing signage. The very next page is the Bicycle Boulevard. So it's right after the survey. There you go. We now have it up on the screen. And so the design has been changed just a little bit. There's not something in the bird's mouth. I think the swallowtail is maybe leading. The Bicycle Boulevard has had more additional changes, but the intent is still all those elements would stay as here within that half circle. Those are the BPAC was really looking for this element that the signage would still read. For somebody who is used to a Bicycle Boulevard sign in Berkeley or these bike route signs in Oakland, that they would see them, they'd recognize the bike, they'd recognize the wording, the coloring, the shape, and there would just be this Emeryville touch to it. And the BPAC was very pleased that the artist was so responsive to that narrow thread that was expressed. And what Ryan has pulled up here were the elements as they were designed in the survey and the response. And there was definitely some confusion without showing the exhibit, as I just showed you. So I think when we go to the council, we'll be sure to have that integrated within those two signs. And in addition to the artist's presentation, we'll have those as exhibits as well. And so, you know, I think the public hasn't yet seen those. They've been really at committee levels, and there's been some confusion in the response to the surveys based on not having an example, which is why this was produced to better clarify that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think in going through the packet beforehand, in that survey, the bike options did look very cluttered. So I'm glad that the artist was responsive to BPAC considerations around that, making clear that it is in fact a bicycle. Okay, well, if that member Moore, any other comments on this item? Okay, Amber, if you have everything you need, then I think
you,
we can.
You took an action to recommend the packet.
Perhaps I'll ask.
Its option.
Would you like to have an action?
I would appreciate an action recommending the city council adopt the final design from the artist, including option 3 of the icon design, if I understood your conversation.
Ryan, I would like to make that recommendation. Move forward with this, recommend to the city council that they adopt this packet and the designs in them, including item 3 of the icon options.
I'll second.
All right. We can do a vote. Member David Moore?
Aye.
And Chair Matthew Thulman?
Aye.
All right, motion passes.
Thank you, and thank you, Amber, for the presentation. Okay, that was only action item. So moving to item 6, which is information items, and specifically item 6.1, environmental program updates. Matt isn't here.
We have Violet filling in, and she'll be able to come up. And Violet, do you want to share screen? Oh, perfect.
Okay. All right. So I just have a few quick environmental programs updates. The first being really exciting, which is that we have a new hire. We hired an environmental programs tech, and it's me, Violet. So I'm very excited to continue my time here with the city and continue working with Matt and all of the wonderful folks in Public Works. In terms of our tree planting project, we've had about 70 trees planted so far, and project completion is expected in early spring of 2026 this year. And this is a beautiful, I love this photo so much. I think it's a beautiful photo of a little baby tree out at the marina. And for one quick legislative update, in terms of SB 54, our Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act, the updated covered materials list was published to CalRecycle's website on December 31st of last year. The big change to be aware of here is that aseptic and bimetal cans or containers are now considered recyclable, and SB 54 regulations are anticipated to be wrapped up and completed within the next few months. And then in terms of Ava e-bikes, things are still going really well. We are continuing our outreach about this program, and 4.19% of the Emeryville population has applied, which that doesn't sound exciting, and that's not a big number, but it is actually exciting. It's a countywide record. That's the highest number in the county. And this program runs until September of this year, so we still do have quite a bit of time, so please spread the word, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, apply yourself if you're interested. And that wraps up updates.
Thank you, Violet. One question on this slide. What is an aseptic and/or bimetal container?
Yeah, an aseptic container, if you're familiar with a Tetra Pak, if you've ever seen that logo on maybe like a oat milk carton or a milk carton, those are aseptic containers. Yeah, so any sterile container that a food or a beverage or a pharmaceutical item could be packaged in.
That is great news, because I've been throwing away my oat milk containers and now I won't.
Yes, they're all recyclable.
Great.
Yeah. Ooh.
Any questions on this?
No questions.
Okay. We'll open public comment. Any people in the room looking to make comment on item 6.1? We'll have 2 minutes. Nope. Okay. We'll close public comment. And we'll just say congratulations, Violet. Great to have you on the team and look forward to working together.
Thank you. Excited to stay here.
Congratulations.
No other comments. We can move to item 6.2 with Ryan, which is the Capital Improvement Program Tracking Spreadsheet.
All right. We have some 2026 updates on a lot of projects, so I'll go through anything that has a 2026 update. Our bridge maintenance program has some progress. We did an RFP. We have an award of the contract that will be coming to council at the February 3rd council meeting for that. And we'll be starting inspections of all our bridges here in 2026 and exciting progress on that. Essential infrastructure, you know, the exciting part of public works, of course. Our Powell Street sewer project, we're evaluating some design alternatives for that. So you'll see some progress on that project here in 2026. So we have that as a future agenda item here for transportation committee. So we're shooting for sometime in spring 2026 to bring that to the committee. So as that develops, you'll be seeing it here at the committee. Our McLaughlin Powell Bioswell project, there's an avian assessment that's underway. That is the first part of this. It's outside of our control, though. So that is the first part of that before we kind of make some more progress on that project. So it's kind of in a kind of waiting period. Our rehab of our city sewer laterals, we have some bids that have been received. We're analyzing those and trying to get the lowest responsive bidder under contract. So we'll be getting more sewer laterals done throughout the city that are under the city's purview. Our North Hollis Underground District project, we have some funds that are came into the city from PG&E. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's not necessarily enough to do a lot of undergrounding. The project is kind of on hold right now, and we're looking to see what's next steps for this. Right now, we're trying to see if we can trade out some credits for the project with another city, and it's kind of just on hold right now. So some updates, hopefully sometime this year on that project. Sustainable Streetscapes project. We've made a lot of strides on Hollis Street. We have some temporary striping that's been put down on Hollis Street after we finished the paving right before Thanksgiving. We're waiting to, with the clear weather, to get the final striping down on the project. With the clear weather patterns, our contractors started the bus pad work. So one of the bus pads actually got poured in the last 2 days. So if you look at 45th Street, you can see what the new bus pads are going to look like. They're going to continue doing about two bus pads every week, weather prevailing, hopefully. After the bus pad work, we will also be continuing to do more benches at the marina and other curb ramps and speed humps around the city at various locations. So you'll see some speed humps being installed at 65th, 66th, and 67th Street at the Greenway. And other lighting improvements at bus stops around the city as well that need to be completed, and then also just checked to make sure that they're functioning correctly and all that. So we have a little bit more work to do to finish up that project and get it closed out here in spring, by spring, and bring it to council for closeout. The 40th Street Multimodal Project had a big milestone of closing out the public comment period here at the early part of January for the CEQA environmental document. We are reviewing the public comments that came in. We will be doing a response to the comments that came in and bringing that into council hopefully early March is our target date right now. And we will be bringing that into council soon. So that is the latest update on that. And street tree project. Let's see, that is the urban tree planting project. Violet just gave the update on that, but a lot of trees have been going in. We had a big wind event over Christmas break. All the trees survived that from the new plantings, but we lost a few in the marina. So We are hoping to replace the few that got knocked down with some other trees. Hopefully do a one-to-one replacement at the very least. So hopefully that's we replace what's been getting knocked out. So that's our goal. Our parks projects, we have some scope additions, or at least a formation of what our scope is going to be. So we're looking to do some park projects at Doyle Hollis and Davenport Park. So we're having our designer look at those two parks for some upgrades. And then our Northwest Linear Park, there are some planning entitlements for funding source. They've been renewed through 2027, but the project's on hold. Let's see. And I think that's it for that project. And I think that's it for updates. So any questions or any anything at all on this list?
Thank you, Ryan. Member Moore, any questions on this?
Thanks, Ryan. One question just on the, I know things got, we had to move things around with the, some of the funding on Hollis, and then there was some work on Doyle that then got deferred. One thing I was thinking about was some of the safety upgrades we had planned at the intersections for 65th, 66th, 67th. And I was wondering where those kind of, where those fall in the scheme of things.
So some of the safety upgrades were like sightline improvements. So some of that can be done under our on-call, landscape contractor. So some of those will be done through that. There's other elements like speed limit signs that will be done through a citywide speed limit effort that we're trying to do this spring. So I guess it depends on which element of the improvements there are. There's going to be some striping changes done with the speed humps. I think that's the largest change coming to those crossings is the speed humps and the striping changes. So that will be done as part of this project.
Is that the striping and the speed humps, would that be in spring?
That's part of this current Hollis Street project, the Sustainable Streetscapes project that's ongoing. So yes, it'll be done probably in the next month and a half or so. So okay. Once they're done with some of the Hollis work, they'll be moving on to the Greenway crossings. So
okay, yeah. Great. Thanks for that update. And then I guess related to that, I know we had been talking to the city of Berkeley about speed humps on their portion. Any updates?
No updates from them. We'll have to check back in with them. I think once we get our schedule pinned down, that'll be a good opportunity for us to place some pressure on them to ensure they come through with their original commitment.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Member Moore. The bridge program, that's just the actual like bridge structure foundations, just making sure it's structurally sound. That doesn't cover the roadway improvements on top. Is that accurate?
The mix of it all, but it's mostly the bridge deck actually is the focus of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So will there, the contract that you're hoping to execute is for review and design of kind of what work needs to be done. Is that correct?
That's correct, because and the first step is in an actual investigation to determine what's needed to maintain the structural integrity of the bridges. Then after that, you proceed to design, then bidding out to construction, et cetera.
Okay, great. And I guess to the extent that the bridge deck is being changed, I mean, this is now many years in the future, presumably we would do some kind of repaving effort. Like what would we, is it best practice to do any kind of repaving effort at the same time as you're modifying the bridge deck?
Unfortunately, without the benefit of the actual project manager here, generally we focus on installing or applying methacrylate so that it's structural integrity, waterproofing, et cetera. Anything more you want to add there, Ryan?
Yeah, the last two projects that we've done, 40th Street and Powell Street Bridge, both had that same treatment done. And that's exactly it. Yeah, it's like resealing the bridge and extending the life of the concrete that's on it. We do minor crack repairs that's on it, and you know, there's some rubber ends like where the asphalt meets the concrete, so there's some points in, right there that we swap out and change out, so just extending the life of the bridge as long as possible, so they have to last a very long time. So trying to extend the life.
Please. It's almost the equivalent of slurry seal for regular AC pavement on regular roadways, but this is the equivalent for a concrete structure.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Learn something new every day. Thank you for the pop quiz. All right.
I just had one more. I was looking at the solar panel inverters that were replaced. Was our solar system not working? Maybe you could comment. How large is our solar system, and how's that functioning? I know it's been a few years, and how old is it?
Which facility? Is it the Civic Center?
Actually, I'm just looking at the facility resiliency upgrades. 30 kilowatt chargers at City Hall, 2 dual port at the Police Department, and then City Hall inverters replaced.
I don't have the exact size of the system, but it covers the majority of our roof. It is an older system, so the kilowatts per panel are not quite the same as what you can get now. But as a result of replacing the inverters, we aren't getting the benefit of the panels.
You mean now we're better getting that benefit?
The inverter stopped working. We had to replace it in order to actually continue benefiting from the panels that we had. So that was part of the work that was conducted a while back, a couple of years back.
I see.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then the first part of that sentence for that update is actually just EV chargers that were installed at City Hall and at PD. So it's not related to the solar chargers, it's EV chargers.
And those are the ones in the lot?
Correct. Lot. Yeah.
Okay. So basically our the public works fleet is able to more routinely charge there, is it a mix of employee charging and city vehicles, or I guess who's intended to use these 30 kilowatt chargers?
A good question. After installing them, the most frequent use has been our community service bus in terms of community service vehicles. I mean, like city vehicles. We also instituted a new administrative instruction about employee charging, where employees do pay the costs of the electricity, but they are able to charge. That's probably our second frequent user is city employees, and that pretty much is what I've seen observed. Public works vehicles already have, I think, I'd have to maybe about 5 chargers. Out at the Corp Yard that are there to support our trucks. And PD already has several chargers over at PD, and it's maxed out. Both locations basically have what the sub panel can support.
Okay, so then we won't be hearing about new chargers getting installed either at PD or in the parking lot here at City Hall because we're maxed out at the sub panel. Is that right?
We basically looked at the sub-panel capacity when we were doing the installations and did what was as much as the panel could accommodate.
Have we explored the cost of installing a secondary panel or expanding the capacity in some way with PG&E?
It's possible, but we have to, I would think we would need a use case. I think PD, the panel expansion, based on the available service that they have out there, is very expensive and more complex. The Civic Center, I don't see our use. We're not fully using the 3 that we have out there, so I'm not sure it would be worthwhile. Yeah.
It makes sense. Thanks.
Thank you, Mohammed. If no other questions, I'll just open public comment and see if any members of the public have comment on item 6.2. Brooks, please, got 2 minutes. Come up to the podium.
Not going to need 2 minutes. Just And I may be overusing public comment to ask like minor questions of information here, but just curious in terms of bringing back information to the ETMA about the Sustainable Streetscapes project on Hollis. Staff mentioned that the bus pad work has started and is underway at a good clip. Just curious when we expect to sort of complete that and like what the next sort of steps are there for sort of finishing off the bus stops along Hollis. You can choose to, I think they can choose to answer or not answer, right? But that's it's a comment slash question.
Thank you, Brooks. Staff, if you have an answer, great.
Yeah, we're shooting for 2 bus pads a week now that we've started the bus pad work. So in short order, you know, about a month and a half to finish out the bus pads. And then signage being moved next to move the bus stops to where the bus pads are. So hopefully the end of February is the goal. But weather dependent is always on this project. Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. Any comments on item 6.2? Okay. With that, we can close that out. Thank you, Ryan and Muhammad, for that. And then moving to item 7, which is future agenda items. We have a couple of items. Maybe I'll start by asking, do we, for our next meeting, which would be February, do we have a sense of what staff would like to bring forward?
Yeah, we have a pretty packed February. So we do have the Ashby Interchange requested from ACTC to be brought forward. We have, let's see, we are ready to do the Raptor OWL programs to be brought forward. Can someone bring up our other agenda, Phil or Jeff? Yeah. See, we had a few more that were actually not on here that are some staff process ones that are going to be brought in. So that are council pipeline. So that we got to run through the committee. So speed limits, that's another one. So our citywide speed limits are going to be coming through the committee. The other one is your 2026 meeting schedule. We want to run through the whole calendar just to make sure that any conflicts with any of your personal vacations or holidays or anything like that.
We also have sea level rise as one of the items as well. But this is all tentative until it's published.
Yeah. We have about 2 hours worth of content at the moment.
You mentioned the speed limits, which I know that's all that's for the Greenway. Is this like the bike speed limits or is this like vehicle speed limits?
This is vehicle speed limits citywide. We have about 13 streets, I think, or actually, sorry, more than that. I think 19 streets getting updated with city or with speed limits.
And we'll include the speed limits for bikes on the Greenway as part of that discussion as well.
Okay, I remember there was we had a Greenway signage which included the speed limits, and we were also going to include kind of non-smoking signs and other signs that might be relevant for the Greenway. Would that be then something else related to Greenway signage, or like because I know I brought up the topic as a future agenda item at some point for these non-smoking signs on the Greenway. People often go out and smoke a cigarette there. It's park space. They really shouldn't. People run through there. The last thing you want when you're running is inhaling cigarette smoke. So what would be the best place for that item? I think it kind of got rolled in and then now kind of rolled out. So I don't want to lose track of it.
That's helpful feedback, and we'll make sure that we'll take that into consideration before final publishing of the agenda.
Would it be helpful to have a, I could introduce right now a non-smoking sign on the Greenway future agenda item. Would that be helpful to just keep track of it?
Sure, that would work, yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to add non-smoking signs to Greenway and park space as a future agenda item.
Sounds good. Is a thumbs up sufficient for me?
Yeah, thumbs up is fine. We don't need to vote on.
Thumbs up. All right. Thank you for that. And Member Moore, are there any other, recognizing that February is quite busy and that council will be appointing, will maybe making our committee appointments at next week's council meeting, Are there any other agenda items?
None from me. Nope.
Okay. All right. I don't think I have anything else for future agenda items. So closing out item 7 and moving to item 8, announcements or member comments?
Nothing else.
You got nothing. Mom, do you have anything?
I think we do have one announcement. We have a new management analyst. Jeff is onboarded with us as of yesterday. We're very excited to have him here, and he'll be taking on a lot of the duties that Josie, if you all remember, used to take on. And hopefully we'll, with the added capacity, be able to start delivering on a lot of the items that had been previously deferred. So welcome to Jeff.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff. Great to have you join the team. For nothing else than Muhammad's mental health and to-do list. So looking forward to working together on a number of exciting projects. Great. Any other member comments?
That's it. And welcome to the team, Jeff.
Wonderful. With that, it is 5:19. I'll join the meeting.